This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name. Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's Morning Bible Study. We're in Exodus chapter 34, and we're working our way through the passage where God remakes the covenant with the children of Israel after the rebellion that revolved around the golden calf. And God is going to say a couple of things. Really, what we have is we have God defining His revelation, and then we have God doing a miracle, really. He's doing a miracle to show that His revelation is alive and that His revelation is real and that His revelation is powerful and that His promises and His covenants can be trusted in even when physical circumstances don't seem to indicate that's even possible. And the person who studies the natural world would say, these are not possible. This is not possible for this to happen. And the answer to that question is, yes, that's right. It's not possible unless God's involved. And with man, it's impossible, but with God, it's possible. And so what we have here is an interesting phrase, really, to start out. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, write these words. And I noticed before, when he went up on the mountain, he had God gave him the tablets, and he wrote on the tablets himself. He etched the tablets with his finger. He made those tablets perfectly from his will. So he gave him the tablets, and Moses didn't have to do anything. Now we have a different situation. We have Moses bringing the tablets up, and we have Moses etching on the tablet. We have Moses doing the work of writing on the tablet. Now, you go, why the difference? Because there is an important understanding here. The important understanding is that God is going to reveal Himself in His Word. In fact, that's the primary way He revealed Himself to mankind, was through His Word, until His Son came. And then His Son, now you got to get this, then His Son is the embodiment of His Word. That's what John chapter 1 talks about. We'll be talking about that on Sunday mornings in the months to come. But the truth is that Jesus is the physical manifestation of God in the earth, which necessarily means that He is the physical manifestation of God's Word in the earth, because God has revealed Himself through His Word. And then in latter days, that's actually the phrase that the Latter-day Saints get their tight name from. But in latter days, He's revealed Himself in His Son. So you have God revealing Himself in His Word, and then you have Him revealing Himself in His Son. Now, the translation of that, or how that, and I hate to use the word translation, because oftentimes people think translations and whether or not they're good translations or bad translations are God's Word. Translations are not God's Word. Translations are God's Word put into your language. Remember, we know what God's Word is, and so we don't have really a question as to what it is. It is written in the Hebrew and the Greek, and there are some passages in Aramaic, not very many. So we have the original text of God's Word, and we have so many original manuscripts of it, meaning manuscripts that date back within 100, 150, 200 years of the original writing. We have so many original manuscripts that go back over the centuries, over the millennia, really, all the way back 3,000, 3,500 years. We have so many of those texts that we know what the original Hebrew was and the original Greek was. The question is, can we translate those words into our language, which is the English language? And remember, all languages change too over time. The languages that we're speaking, I know many of y'all, maybe people my age and older, when we were in high school, we had to read this story called Beowulf, and it was written in English, which was really good for us because the English that we read, we understood completely. And I'm just being facetious when I say that, because anybody who's read Beowulf understands that, yeah, that's English, but that's not our English. It's not the English that we understand. It's not even close. You have no idea what that language is saying. It's not our English. Why? Because over the last 500-600 years, English has changed so greatly, especially over 1,000 years, as you start with the very original, what we call English, and then we move to what we have. It's not the same language. It's just not even the same thing. And so oftentimes, even words that we have today, we have to adjust when we're translating from the original language, which we know what that meant. We know what each word means. We know what there are maybe 150 passages where there's some ambiguity that we don't really understand completely what the language is saying. In fact, the idiom used in the verse before, boil a young goat in its mother's milk, we don't really know what that phrase meant back then. We can surmise from it, but we don't really know. There's several of those passages throughout Scripture, but none of them change any of the hardcore baseline fundamental theology that we have, because their importance as far as is setting the course of Scripture is not there. And God knew that when it was written, that it would have a great impact on the people who read it and heard it then, but it would have a lesser impact on us. And he wanted to speak to that culture like he's speaking to our culture. And that's one of the other things that's about God's Word, is God's Word speaks to the circumstances that you live in today. God's Word is eternal. It's timeless. And so it speaks to our hearts, where we live and where we're at today. And it speaks to who you are and where you're at today. So it speaks to the times we live in. It speaks to the place we live at, where we're at. And God's Word is powerful to teach us, powerful to open our hearts up and allow us to see life as it really is. And so God's Word, we know what it is. Sometimes we have trouble translating it such that we can understand it. And that's why even now we have so many great tools. I use Blue Letter Bible all the time to look at a language and to see. The Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Now, tenor, this word is a very common word in the Hebrew. It's actually two letters. It's like P-E. And it's not a hard word to understand. It's a easy word to understand. But in this context, the way it's translated, it's actually, I think, a pretty good translation. You just don't understand it totally. The word tenor is actually a tone of a voice. You've got, for males, generally speaking, you have tenors and bass is the lower register, and tenors are higher register for a male singer. And then I don't know what the females are as much, but, and that's the reason I don't know that, is because I have very little knowledge in the area. And when I was a young boy in choir, I didn't have to learn the ladies because I couldn't sing that. And so I don't know what those are, but I think there's two for them also. And that is the tone of the voice. It's what God is saying. And this is a very important understanding. The actual word is how something comes off the mouth. It means how it comes out of the mouth. And God said to Moses, write these words, for according to how I have explained them to you, I have made my covenant. That's a powerful statement God makes there. What he says is, look, there are a lot of things that you're just never going to really know. And never totally going to understand, and it's not possible to. And let me say this, if you think mankind can know everything and understand everything, and that it's possible that's going to happen anytime before the universe goes into its low energy state and the stars begin to dissipate, it's not. We're not going to figure out how to travel across the universe. That the energy that is required to do that is unimaginably impossible to do. And in fact, so many times people say, do you believe that there are people visiting us? And the answer to that question is no. Do I believe fallen angels and demons and things like that are mentioned in Scripture are here? Yeah, I do. And do they manifest themselves in such a way that make you think that they might be coming from somewhere else? Sure. But the very power of the universe, we would have to harness not the power of stars, but the power of the universe in order to travel across our universe and study places that are on the other side of our universe. That it's not, it's it. And I know we've got Star Trek and warp drives, and that may be that we at one point in time can travel at the speed of light at warp 10, according to Star Trek. Okay. And even if we are able to do that, there are places in our universe that are millions and maybe even billions of light years away. You can't get there. That's not even possible to travel there. And there are aspects of what God has created that we're never going to know. And there are aspects of things that happened in the past that we're never going to totally understand. And how these things all work out, and even if the History Channel has ancient aliens on all the time, it's not going to answer the question. It's not going to give us all that information. And you go, why are you going into this? Because God has given us a word, and he has been very specific about it, and he has made it very knowable by us, meaning he's given us plenty of information to know that's exactly what God has said to us. We now know exactly what God wrote in every book that we have in our scriptures. We know exactly what was said and exactly what was originally written. And according to the tenor of those words, not anything else, according to the tenor of those words, God has made his relationship with us, or he's made his covenant with us. And that's what this says. According to how God has revealed himself, he's made his covenant with us. Now, are there aspects of God that he says he's going to close up and we're not going to know until the end? Yeah, there are. And are there aspects of God's plan that we don't fully, completely understand? Yes, there are. Does that mean we shouldn't seek after them and seek after knowing God and knowing his personality and his character and his will? No, that means we ought to keep on seeking after. But there are going to be things out there that you're not going to totally get in your limited natures. Your friend might get it, and your mother might get it, but you don't get it because that's not how you're constituted. You're just not capable of getting to that place. Now, you may get things and understand things and live things out in God's revelation that they don't totally understand and get. That's why God has made us trophies of his grace, because he is proving that he can take these finite, these time-sensitive things called human beings, and he can make them glorify his grace and his mercy and his love and embody his power and his spirit and his word. And that is a miracle unto itself. And so he says, according to how I've revealed myself in my word, I have made my covenant with you. That meaning how I've revealed myself in my word is the most important thing. And ultimately how I revealed myself in my word seen through my son Jesus is the most important thing for you to understand. And so you need to chase after Jesus. You need to chase after his revelation to us. He is the full revelation of God. And you need to live your life according to the tenor of God's word. So the starting point is always God's word. The starting point can never be anywhere else but God's word. When we're trying to figure out something about how we should live and how we live our lives and how we walk each day, we need to always start with God's word. I was listening to one of my favorite authors and favorite philosophers yesterday, and he was dealing with a subject matter about the atonement and how there's a group of people that have come up with this new idea of the atonement, and it totally abrogates God's word. It just totally leaves God's word out, and they start out with psychology, which, by the way, is very iffy as far as the way it's studied and the way it's been presented. They start out with a social science that really doesn't have a whole lot of science involved in it. And then they place their understanding of that social science on God's word, which means they remove the things that don't fit into that social science from God's word. And then they come up with their own idea of how God atoned for our sins. That's just ridiculous. It doesn't work that way. You can't take away what the eternal, timeless, all-powerful, all-knowing God gave us from his mouth, the tenor of how he's revealed himself to us. You can't remove that and really understand his plan and come up with how his plan works. That's not how that works. You have to start with God's word, and God's word has a plan
that's attached to it, that God's word. In fact, God's word lays out his plan. It is the path. It's the way. And so when we walk in with God, we've got to walk according to that plan. We've got to walk according to that plan. And if you start anywhere else other than the tenor of God's word, or how God's word has come off his lips and come to your heart, and how he's revealed himself to you, if you start anywhere else other than that, you're going to wander into darkness. And there's no way to get around that. And so when that happens, all the good things and all the promises in God's word is made available to us. It's made alive in us. And sometimes, even when God needs to, the miraculous happens, meaning that God does that which does not seem in the natural world possible, because remember, God is above the natural world. So there is a miraculous aspect to what God does. And that's what we see in verse 28. So he was there with the Lord, meaning Moses, 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. Now, a lot of people have a lot of problem with this. A lot of theologians have a problem with this because they say that's not physically possible. And they are correct. You cannot live without eating bread or water for 40 days and 40 nights unless God is sustaining you somehow through the miraculous power of his word. And it's clear from the verse before that God is saying, I am going to give you this word, and according to the tenor of how I've given it, that's how you're going to live in a relationship with me. And one of the things I think he's proving or saying here is that my word is powerful enough to handle the circumstances that you understand and the circumstances which you do not understand. My word is powerful enough to handle that which you can actually deal with me on and discuss with me and work out with me. And my word deals with the things that you have no understanding of, no idea that are actually happening in your life. But I know, and I'm at work sustaining you through those things. And I believe that's why God puts this miracle here in his word, is he's saying, my word is preeminent and the most important thing that you have from me, other than the manifestation of that word, which was in my son. So you have my word and my son, which are the same thing. They're both the same thing. And if you will live according to those things, I will sustain you according to how you understand my word as I've told it to you. And I will sustain you according to the things that you could probably never, ever figure out, or you would never, ever know. And yet I know, and I sustain you in them. And it says, and he, meaning Moses, wrote on the tablets the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. What he said is he wrote on those tablets what God had revealed to him. Long path this morning, very long path this morning. But let me say this. God's word is preeminent. That's where our starting point is. We cannot go anywhere else with it. We do not need to adjust it or change it. We do not need to manipulate it for our own purposes. We need to present it and see it as it is, and then walk it.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.